Now we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and we're going to chat with John Ford. He's a Riley County Commissioner and joins us in studio. Good to have you in.
Good morning. Glad to be here as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. And later on in the show, we'll also have Emergency Preparedness Coordinator Andrew Adams from the Health Department. I understand he had another
Yeah, they commitment. Had an update meeting, I think, at 8:30 this morning. So, you know, they'll be up to date on our efforts here locally with the coronavirus.
Yeah. And I know some people are maybe getting a little tired of hearing about it in the news. But, you know, over the weekend, we had our first confirmed case in Kansas. And that, you know, Johnson County is not that far. It's a couple hours away. And now that it's here locally, the health departments have to be ready to respond.
Yeah, we've been discussing this for well over a month now. We took out our isolation and quarantine policies and kind of went through them and have been kind of discussing amongst vested partners how to handle this particular outbreak. I think one of the interesting things about the case in Johnson County over the weekend was it was a self-quarantine, which leads me to believe that the person saw the symptoms, knew what was going on, was educated, knew that they come from a region where that was a potential, and immediately self-isolated and then called local officials. It's a great way to handle that scenario moving forward, protects the public, and then, you know, allows the individual to get the help that they need immediately, which, you know, really cuts down on the potential for, you know, mortality. So that was a good thing to at least hear on that end. Here, you know, I think we're as prepared as we can possibly be. Don't exactly know how it's going to play out just yet. You know, hopefully, you know, we stay in that low risk factor. But I think if we do start seeing cases or whatnot, we're very prepared to deal with it. So
I think a lot of the worry comes from folks not knowing much about this. It's a new strain of this virus, and you hear, you know, well, it's the same things you hear when you're trying to prevent the flu. Wash your hands, good hygiene, and just common sense measures.
Sure. In this particular case, too, this particular strand has a certain higher level of contagiousness. So it can affect a larger group of people very, very quickly. You know, it kind of falls in line. I think for us locally, I think we need to be paying more attention to some of those more vulnerable populations, the ones that have other health issues, maybe people that have, you know, respiratory issues such as emphysema, COPD, you know, some of those variances, people that may have done certain types of chemo, radiation therapy, those sort of things, and then just the older population in general where your immune system kind of starts to kind of transition down. So those are discussions that we've had. We've had a discussion yesterday about how to deal with dispatch, certain questions to ask when coming upon a scene to make sure that our first responders and emergency personnel are safe as well, because that's a large part of the equation. And then just community partners working together, you know, in the areas where they need to. And our PIO group locally will, you know, develop and be able to push out that message, you know, as it becomes available. So.
From your perspective, being a county official, do you worry about distrust in the government here a little bit?
I do, and I get that. You know, what I would tell people right now, if your concern is I want to be educated and informed, there are many different places to do that. Currently on our website, RileyCountyKS.gov, we do have a coronavirus link up at the top that you can click. It'll take you to some other websites, including KDHE, the CDC. It's got a list of potential symptoms if you're falling and what protocols to follow if you're seeing no symptoms, some things to do, preventative measures. And it'll, you know, maybe not be updated every 5 minutes or what have you, but it will be updated enough to, you know, keep detailed and fresh information on it. So it's a good place to go for that information outside of, you know, social media or whatever else, whatever other volumes of information you might want to get from someplace.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking with John Ford, Riley County Commissioner here. If you have any questions, be sure to call us here, and we'll have Andrew Adams on a little bit later in the show here to answer questions too. He's kind of the expert, I suppose, on this topic here. But you know, one thing is squashing any rumors you see online. Have you seen anything here that online that maybe isn't true that's been spreading in the community?
Well, yeah. Here locally, we did have a group of 18 students who were studying abroad in Italy. I don't know what part of Italy specifically, but K-State felt it necessary to suspend that program to bring them back. Nobody is infected at this particular point in time, but we are following the state and federal guidelines and our own guidelines for quarantine. They will be isolated for at least 14 days. Nobody has shown any signs of symptoms or signs that they have the virus, but we're following that protocol closely with Lafine, and of course our health department's monitoring that situation, and K-State's providing the other resources that they need for that. So we think we're okay there. They were informed of this last Tuesday, so there's been a week. We haven't seen anything yet. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but you know, we're following those protocols, and if something is to happen, like I said, we are prepared. We've been using that kind of hashtag of prepared, not scared, and we know that it's definitely a possibility, but we've had plenty of discussions. We've had some tabletop exercises dealing with this and a couple other hypothetical situations around infectious diseases. And we feel like, we, you know, if that time comes, we will be prepared and we can move right into doing what we need to do to protect public health and safety and, of course, the individual themselves. So,
all right. Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know about that until hearing about that last night, about the 14-day quarantine. That's a requirement here from the CDC.
That is correct. Yeah. And it's part of the KDHE policy, and it's part of our local isolation policy for this particular event at this particular point in time to fall in those other guidelines. So.
All right. Well, that's interesting to hear. And of course, that travel ban continuing here with K-State as well. That was just announced a few days ago. Well, let's move on a little bit here. We'll come back to the coronavirus when Anders joins us here. I want to talk to you a little bit about some other topics of note here. You recently took a trip to Washington, D.C.
Sure did. I went out to attend the 2020 National Policy Legislative Conference held by the National Association of Counties. This year was a little different than some years. They had a separate summit on last Wednesday for counties that have military installations. So that's why we ultimately went, and the decision was made to send me. For me, it was the first time in Washington, D.C. I think I got a lot out of that, networking with county officials from all over the country, being able to talk to federal policymakers, had the opportunity to meet with Jerry Moran and his staff in his office to talk about some broader-based things here locally, including infrastructural projects, potential USDA funding, and, of course, the broadband wireless issue. And that's a dear one to me, I think, down the road. We've got to do a much, much better job and have some entities and resources there to be able to do what we need to do. So we discussed that, I think a pretty good conversation. And again, I can work with the rest of those things here locally with the staff here in Manhattan. But it was good to be able to catch up. I was able to take a tour of the White House, see some of the sites, and had a chance to hear from the Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt talk about some photo-related things. Secretary of HUD Ben Carson talked about the housing issue, affordable housing issue that you know, we have an issue with here, but it's countrywide on that as well, and some dynamics and some things that they're working on their program based off of data and demographics that they have. And even the President of the United States spoke to our group Tuesday morning, first sitting president to speak to our group since 1996, which I guess would have been President Clinton. So for me, that was pretty cool. He spoke for about 50 minutes, addressing some of the same things we're talking about. Spoke about his administration's efforts on transportation, energy, and he also spoke on the mental health and the opioid crisis, which got a standing ovation in the entire room, myself included, because we know that those are challenges that we face here locally. So they're aware of that. I thought it was very, very good. We also had an opportunity to hear from the CDC director right after that himself, talk about the coronavirus as well. So all in all, very, very productive. I've got a mountain of information. Some people are probably going to dread seeing me here in the next couple of weeks, but I want to see if some of these initiatives and things could be of real value and benefit to Riley County and our region. So,
very interesting. Yeah, well, you mentioned the broadband issue here, and you know, that is a topic that's near and dear to a lot of folks here in Kansas, because you go out in the rural parts and it's sketchy.
It's not even the rural parts. It's even the city of Manhattan. NACO over the last year and a half has developed a tested app. You can go on Google Play, Apple Play Store and download this. And basically, you can run a test on either one. You can't do them both at the same time. So if you want to do a wireless test, you can do a wireless test from a location. If you want to do broadband, you can do broadband from a specific location. And those test results automatically go back to their database, and they're keeping track of those records here. So I'd encourage everybody else who's thinking about this and really concerned about this to download this too, because many of the national carriers on both of those entities are suggesting that we've got nationwide coverage. We're going to be moving into 5G in some areas, even in the city of Manhattan. We don't have 3G sometimes. And for us to be able to develop what we need to do and do certain things like telemedicine, for instance, which is going to be a big thing here down the road, or just economic development, advancement, and innovations, we have to have those two things to be able to survive. And it's not as solid as it needs to be. And they're aware of that, but they need to have that physical data and stuff to be able to accomplish that. And this is one way to do that. Further discussions and dynamics of trying to get some maybe more local approach to me, I think, would be good too, as well. But, you know, it all starts from one particular point, and we are at that point. So,
does this issue impact kind of, you know, you guys are in the middle of a radio system upgrade? Would that impact that as well?
It could, but it could also benefit that too. The radios are actually on more of a frequency, so they don't necessarily use either one of those sources per se, but, you know, to do some of the software updates and some of that, you probably will. We're also hopeful that maybe some entities might use those particular towers and can rent some space on those towers for those two entities as well, which is both beneficial to us fiscally and then, you know, beneficial infrastructurally to the entire area as well. And those are some primitive discussions we have. And as we kind of move through and the summertime and get that officially up. The towers, I believe, are up. We're going to be taking a tour of those on Thursday afternoon, but we still got to get a test, and then you got to start moving the actual, you know, radios and technology interdepartmental to those. And once all that's in place, you know, I think that could be a possibility down the road of, you know, one or more cell carriers or one or more broadband carriers wanting to put their equipment and stuff on there and use that as a way to do that through, you know, through the towers.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me when the carriers think, yeah, you know, we're fine out there. They don't really know what it's like out here in the Midwest.
And I don't think they're really testing it. And I think the first part of that too is we don't really have the infrastructure, the fiber, everything else truly in place to kind of move to that 5G world. And you know, once you do, and once that starts to take off, if you're not a part of it, then you're behind. And I think we're already behind to begin with here. And that's a concern both through economic development expansion and, you know, with MBAF coming in and everything else that's going to come in behind that, they're going to need those services too. And it's plausible that we make that push and get that done. So there'll be some things down the road that we'll have to discuss. Hopefully we can get some extra funding to do that, and maybe even through KDOT and the state as well. But, you know, if we don't get it, we're well behind the eight ball, and that's just not going to be good. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a timeout. We'll come back more with Raleigh County Commissioner John Ford on InFocus after this.